Welcome to the Gene Oliver Podcast, where we talk all things business, art, and lifestyle. This is your podcast for building a more creative life. Hi, everyone. This is Gene Oliver, and welcome to our next podcast. Today, I am talking with my friend and peer, and one of the most prolific artists I know is Kate Thompson. And I have worked with Kate multiple times throughout the years. We've known each other for many years now. We've taught together in Europe. We've met many times at art events, and she has even taught on our creative network multiple times. Kate, welcome.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this.
I know, I've never done this before,
so
It'll be great. It's going to be so much fun. Would you just introduce yourself to everyone and tell them a little bit about what you do?
Okay. My name's Kate Thompson. And I'm an artist. I lived in California for 30 years, and then I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina 10 years ago and had to totally recreate myself. And that's when I started painting again. And I started taking online classes, and then I started finding a style that I love. I could not get a job in my situation, in my career, in Charlotte, so I had to completely figure out another way to make a living.
Hmm. That's kind of incredible to me, and I don't think I knew that part of your story. And so, when you were in California, what were you doing?
Well, I was a print designer for the apparel business, and I worked for 20 years designing prints for apparel, and so there were a lot of jobs there. I stayed at one job for maybe 10 years. I really liked my work, but I could feel myself starting to fade, and I wanted to do something else. So when we moved to Charlotte, I tried to find a job in my situation, and there was nothing available. It was like it was almost stripped from me. So it was really frightening because I had to make a living, mm-hmm. and I just really didn't know what to do next because I was so used to having a 9-to-5 job with benefits and all that, and all that was stripped away. And I don't think I could have done what I'm doing now if I still lived in Los Angeles. So even though it was a painful situation, I really grew from it. I just became really, really focused. And now I can't believe what I'm doing. I mean, yeah. I never even imagined I would be doing what I'm doing today.
Well, it's really a fascinating when other people are listening right now too, and they're in a time of transition, even within their own career or even within themselves of knowing they want to do something different. I think that alone is really encouraging because you teach online and you teach in person now. And so tell me, how long were you creating before that opportunity opened up for you to teach in person and online? And how did you even take that leap? So what were you doing? What were you creating when you were asked for the first time to teach either online or in person? And I guess one more part of that, were you teaching online for yourself first, or did you teach online for others first?
Okay. Well, what happened is when I moved to Charlotte, I was painting for 4 years. I took a lot of online classes and I started becoming really interested in portrait painting, really expressive portrait painting. And because I have a textile background, mm-hmm. I started working on different kind of substrates, like really unusual substrates, like vintage fabrics. And that's like a whole part of my process is to look for a lot of vintage fabrics and laces and making those my substrates. So I started painting on a regular basis every single day. I was painting. And at first I was not good at it. And so I really want to tell people that are just starting out, I wish I would have saved some of my older work because it was really awful. But I had this determination and this drive. It's like, I want to do this and I want to get better. So I just kept going. I kept doing it and working at it. And a friend of mine said, why don't you put yourself up on video? I mean, up on YouTube and do a video of you painting. And I mean, I had that thought never entered my mind. It just never entered my mind. Because first of all, I'm not that crazy about being in front of a camera, but I thought, I'm going to listen to this woman because she's very successful and she had a lot of business savvy. And so I did it. And I think it was probably a month later that another friend in the community started a Ning site. And she asked me if I would teach an online class. Mm. And so I didn't know what I was going to teach, but I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. And so I learned how to film myself painting and doing my editing. And my boyfriend, John, of course, helped me. He taught me. He's a photographer and he's done a lot of editing. So he taught me how to do all this stuff to create these videos. And so that's what I started from there. And then I started several classes on this Ning site. And eventually I opened my own website and started creating my own online classes there. So it was, the world just opened up to me. Facebook right. was incredible. It was just an incredible experience to connect with people, women all over the world. And I love that. I love that. A big part of why I like doing online is because I get to meet so many people.
Right. And you're not limited to location. You really can reach anybody from all over the place. And I think when you said the world opened up to you, the thing is you had to show up first. You had to do the work first for the world to open up to you. And I think it's just a reminder, if you're struggling right now in whatever you want to grow in your creativity, it takes showing up and it takes practice. And if you're not good at it right away, it doesn't mean you can't be. And so that's just a repeating theme all the time in creativity that I feel like because we both teach a lot and we both have relationships with women in person too. We have these opportunities to meet with people in smaller, more intimate settings, which really allows people to open up and share their struggles. And this is a constant struggle of believing if you're not good at it right away, that you just don't have it. And I think you're a perfect example that that's not true. And I do agree with you. Everyone should hold on to some of their bad work in the beginning, even if it's just photographs, because it reminds you where you've come from.
Absolutely. And I watch people, I watch students on Facebook, and I watch their process as well. And I can see the students that have worked, you know, daily on painting. And their progression within a couple years is right. Unbelievable.
It is. It's really fun to watch. I want to talk about teaching live because you recently went to Morocco and you were able to teach and travel while you were there. Can you talk a little bit of what that experience was like for you and maybe how it impacted your art while you're there? But even what did you take home from that experience that you maybe are even still unraveling?
Well, it was an incredible trip. I mean, it was a life-changing trip for me. I've taught all over the United States. I've taught in Europe. But going to Morocco was a whole different thing. And the culture was just really foreign to me. And Michelle, the host, was incredible because she really got us embedded into the community of the people, and especially the women in Morocco. Mm-hmm. So I fell in love. I fell in love with the people, the culture, everything. And when I left, before I left, I was going through a slump. I didn't want to paint. So I was just doing like sketching and other you know, journaling and abstract work, but I just did not want to paint portraits anymore. And I felt really, it was frightening to me because I had such a passion for painting faces and portraits, and I felt like there was something lacking, and going to my studio and trying to do it was really difficult. But going to Morocco, I completely found a whole new muse. The beautiful women there and their garments, mm-hmm. and how they adorn themselves with all this incredible jewelry, and the history in their faces, that I became alive again. And I thought, okay, I'm back. And you really have to have faith, because I really went through a period where I thought, okay, I'm done. But I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so going there and just being a part of the community and the aesthetics, the Muslim culture, which I didn't know very much about. I didn't know much about the culture, but I found it incredible. And each day each day was a whole new awakening for me. Like the call to prayer was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And there were so many times where I was just filled with tears in my eyes. And the workshop in itself, I really enjoyed doing the workshop with these women, because I brought a lot of my vintage stuff, a lot of my fabrics, and some of my plaster stuff, plastered fabric. And then I did these image transfer skins. And I gave everyone pieces of that. And so they created really incredible work. And I think one of the reasons, you know, not to give myself a high five, but I think giving them some of the things that I use made the pieces work, and we all kind of got into the same groove together. And so the aesthetics of the pieces, I was so happy with. And, you know, I curated that, mm-hmm. by bringing this work, and I realize now that's what I'm going to continue doing. I will bring parts of things that I collect, because that's part of my process, is collecting all these things and giving them to the students so that they can work their magic. Right. And I saw things in them that I never would have thought of doing, and I loved them. So I just, you know, it was an incredible experience, and coming back, it took me a long time to decompress. It mm-hmm. really did.
Oh, well, and we talked about this a little bit ago, and I want to, because I think it's such a good thing for people to hear. So you were telling everybody you really felt stuck. And I think one thing that I want our listeners to hear is that you can go to paint and not be able to paint. I can go to paint and not be able to paint. I was just telling Kate before our podcast that, you know, I had finished all this great work for a class I did, and then I went to go make art for myself, and it's like nothing was turning out, and I felt like, what in the world? Did I just forget how to paint all of a sudden? How is nothing working? And so I want to ask you, when you get stuck, so much of it is mindset, isn't it? Isn't it so much what we tell ourselves and that narrative that's running through our heads? And so what actions or words or processes really help you? Because most of us can't just take a trip to Morocco, right? Or we can't have those experiences that can revive us. Because I know that those big travel trips, there have been times that they have brought me back to life also, but I can't rely on that, because that's not my day to day. So how do you get yourself back on track when you get stuck and when you really feel like you are off the rails in what you thought you were going to do, or to get back into the studio and to create just for the sake that you need to create, because that's who you are?
Well, I show up in my studio. I treat my I treat my work as a 9-to-5 job, even though sometimes I work more than 8 hours a day. It's the hardest job I've ever done. It's taken hours and hours. But when I'm stuck, I show up in my studio no matter what, mm-hmm. because I have to keep that consistency. And so a lot of times what I'll do is I'm starting to get into embroidering. And I did a lot of embroidery work when I was in school. I got my degree in fiber arts. So I did a lot of embroidery. So that's one of the things that I'm doing now. And I'm really enjoying it because it gets my hand moving. It's almost a meditation mm-hmm. that I don't have to think so much about. And then what happens is when I start to embroider, I start to have these ideas of what I could do with this embroidery. And the other thing that I do is I go to my sketchbook. Drawing is something that I've always loved to do. And so I will just take a picture of something. And I really love getting into details. And people that have seen my work and know my work, they know how much I love these tiny little mm-hmm. details. So I will start drawing. And just in my sketchbook, it's just for me. And a lot of these drawings, they're just for myself. They're for no one else. And or else I'll do a journal page and just get scraps of fabric and then start slapping paint and getting really messy and just making little items. Like one of the things, like I have vestments and then I have bundles. So one of the other things I do is I will separate, because everything can get really crazy and disorganized, because I have little pieces of paper here, I have little scraps of fabric here, and then I have some of my skins over here. So I put things in different piles and have some kind of organization. That's another key for me. If my studio is completely disorganized, my head is disorganized. So that's another way for me to kind of slow my head down and just make my little piles. And then I'll maybe pick up a piece of a fabric and or a little piece of paper and doodle on it or stitch on it or something, and just create these little mini things that probably people would see and think, you know, what is this? But then I find that that's like the perfect thing that will finish off a piece of art. Mm-hmm. So when I'm stuck, I'm not going into my studio and going, okay, I'm going to create a masterpiece or I'm going to create a painting. I go in and start working on making little elements, and then that will lead me back into my painting.
Yeah, so good. So good.
We know what it's like to feel like a deer in headlights, searching in the dark for help and direction. It can be overwhelming, frustrating, and isolating to feel like you have no help steering a business that isn't taking you where you want to go. It's possible for you and your business to thrive. For the past 12 years, we have grown from a small Etsy shop to a large creative network with over 50,000 members, all while ensuring our business is a bridge to our dream life, not a barrier. We've taught thousands of business owners how to intentionally align their business with how they want their life to look and feel. We can teach you too. Go to creativelymadebusiness.com and start today.
Because we're talking about your degree, we're talking about your time in California, and because we both just have a real love for, I think, clothes, and we have a lot of those same things that we love. What you don't know, if you don't know Kate, she takes a lot of clothing and she alters it. She has incredible style. She's very fun. I think you're so fun with your clothing, Kate. And so this is such a big thing for me about you. When I think of you, I think about how you wear your creativity very well too. And so I just want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you kind of about clothes, how you express yourself through fashion, really that past experience in fashion and what drives your style.
Okay. Well, when I was in Los Angeles and I was in the industry, I had to look the part, you know, because we'd have clients coming in. And so that was part of it, but it goes deeper than that. It's almost, like my armor or something. When I was younger, I dressed to when I was single and, you know, and looking for boyfriends, I dressed for men. And I don't do that anymore. I'm at an age now, I'm 65. And so I find that one of the things is I don't want to be invisible. Mm-hmm. And part of not being invisible is to create who I am with my clothing. And it's really hard to talk about this because I can get very obsessive and about clothing and wanting to purchase something and kind of look at it online and just kind of covet it. And so I have to be careful because I can go way overboard with my budget with clothes. But I find it's really funny. I meet a lot of people because of what I'm wearing. Mm. And it kind of opens up a dialogue. And so,
lot of people don't dress the way they feel inside, or they don't dress. You're an artist and you are one of the most prolific artists I know, and so many parts of your work. And like you said, it's made up of small pieces, and we have a few of your pieces in our home. And even when other people are seeing one of your pieces for the first time, they're not looking from 10 feet back. People come up and they literally have their nose almost to the canvas studying because cool. There's so many beautiful pieces of what you create and how you put it together. And I feel like that's your style in clothing too. You have these layers. You have these wonderful layers, whether it's jewelry or even how you're wearing your hair, or if it's hats, or if it's, like the overalls or even fun shoes. I think that everything is layered, which is not too different from how I think of your work. I think it's like, it's something that needs to be looked up close. It's something that is very layered and has all these different pieces.
Well, it's funny because when I taught in Morocco and we did these vestments, I took pictures of the women holding them up to their bodies. And I realized, you know, we could make these vestments that we could actually stitch or pin on to a t-shirt and actually wear, and it will look cool. It doesn't look like overdone.
Right.
It just clicked. It's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start making these vestments that I can just wear on a t-shirt because it works. It
yeah.
just works.
Yeah. No, they add to the art, but they also, and when she says vestments, I want to clarify so you guys know what these are. So I want you to imagine vintage lace that's covered in dry plaster that is flaking off and has holes in it. It might have parts that have dried, have drips that are dried. And then maybe she stitches a little piece of one of her sketches onto that little piece. And maybe she has added some metal work. And then you also do the little, what are the dolls called, Kate? The plaster molds.
Oh, the frozen Charlottes?
Yes, yes. And so I just can never think of what that is, but she'll just have some little dried, they're plaster molds, right?
Yeah.
And so, but they they are so layered, but they're little. Sometimes, you know, like 2, 3, 4 inches in size. And so you'll find these often attached to her work, but they also could stand alone. So I just wanted to clarify that if you guys are listening, not knowing what that means. And so they're little treasures for sure. So I'm going to change gears real quick, and I want to talk to you about gallery work, because you do sell on, you sell your work when you're at live events, you do teach live and in person, I mean, in person and then also online, but then you're also represented by galleries. And so would you mind sharing for our listeners that are wanting to kind of get into that way of showcasing their work or those forms of collaborations, what does that look like? And maybe give some suggestions on how to even approach a gallery and maybe some things that you've learned along the way that you wish you would have known in the beginning.
Okay, well, the gallery I'm in, I was contacted by the owner. A client was in her gallery, and she said, you need to look me up. And so the gallery owner contacted me, and so I did nothing. I just out of the blue, I get this email from this woman in Atlanta, and she told me that she loves my work, and we talked to each other on the phone. We had a great rapport. I just adore her. And so she said, why don't you send me some pieces? And so it's about 4 hours away. So we drove down there and I dropped off about 10 or so pieces. So that's kind of how that happened. Before that, I was part of, I would call it a co-op. And a friend of mine in Charlotte, she was part of this co-op. It's called CL Gallery, and she asked me if I wanted to, you know, become a part of it. So I had to go in there with my work, and there was about 6 people, and they all asked me questions about my work, and it was kind of intimidating. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't, it's really important, now I find it really important to have kind of an art speak in a way, and that you have an intelligent way of talking about your work, not right. Just, oh, I create this, or I, you know, I do this or I do that. You have to really think about the pieces and why you create and really give a presentation, because a lot of people that buy art, they want to know who the artist is. And for me, at first, it's like, I just want to create and just sell the work. I don't want to have to be part of the package. But I find that more and more, and this is pushing me, it's pushing mm-hmm. my limits, but I have to be much more present and really talk about my work, because that's all part of why people buy the art. And so I joined the co-op, they accepted me, and so each month we would do monthly shows, there would be different themes, and so we'd have an art walk. So we'd have an art walk on the first Friday of every month, and I really learned a lot there, because I always work pretty small, and so in galleries, a lot of my pieces just kind of got lost. So another thing about working in a showing in a gallery is to work bigger, mm-hmm. because it has a better presentation. So I had to learn that, because at first my pieces were just kind of getting that you couldn't see them, because there were so many big pieces and it was a big space. So I started working bigger. And another thing is I really had to start thinking about how to frame and mount these pieces, what kind of presentation, because before I was in a gallery, I just kind of created art and I just had them on the piles in my studio, just had piles of my artwork. I didn't even think of, well, what would this look like on a wall? And so that was a really important thing. And it was growing pains because there were a lot of ways of trying to frame things that didn't work. And people look at that. They don't just look at the artwork. They look at how it's presented and how it's framed. And so, like, even I started framing some of these pieces, and I had the background, the mat was like a beige. And the gallery owner said, go with pure white. It'll make your paintings pop much, much better. And she was absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And it was a big, so, and this is after I had framed so many pieces using this off-white color.
Right.
It's like, so, you know, that was another big thing that I had to learn through it.
Well, I think you've said so many really good bits here that are not just if you're going to be in a gallery, really good lessons that no matter what you have, if anyone's listening that is a business owner, so it doesn't matter what your product or service is, you had to learn to be able to talk about it confidently. And so often when people can ask us what we do, I mean, do we mumble our way through it or do we really say with confidence what we do? And you only had to figure that out once. You had to figure it out. You had to write up what you wanted it to be and you had to memorize that. So no matter what, you could just say it again and again and again. It's like not being prepared with a price for your product or service. If you're caught off guard, you're not going to give the real price that you need or deserve. But you have to know that you should never be caught off guard on the price. And so it is being prepared. And so that's what the gallery work really even taught you, to be prepared about how you speak about your work, to be prepared at all times to tell a story about your work, to be prepared at any time to talk about the price of your work, and to be able to tell a story of you at any time that makes your art more interesting and have more depth. I think those are really great suggestions no matter what we're selling, no matter what we're creating.
Exactly. Because at these gallery walks, I had to be there. And when people showed up, I had to talk to these people. And not really, I didn't try and sell myself because I'm not a salesperson, but it had to be genuine.
Right.
And some artists are so brilliant and esoteric and they can explain everything so beautifully, but I'm not quite that kind of artist. I have to be myself. So I have to be genuine, but I also have to be professional.
Right.
So I had to figure out the two so that when I was talking to someone, it didn't sound phony. It had to really come from my heart. But it had to really be thought out.
So, Kate, I want to ask a last question here. I want to ask, I've watched you, I mean, through this even podcast, I've even learned bits about you that I didn't know. And you can see all the ways that you have almost reinvented yourself again and again and again. But all this common thread of tapestries and creativity and incorporating cultures and women into your work and vintage elements. Do you see yourself when you think about yourself in 10 years, do you start to have even like a little glimpse of who that woman might be?
Well, one of the things that I want to do is, since I've been to Morocco, I want to go to some of these other more like Peru, India. And I would love to do those trips for the next several years, because I think being engulfed in a culture for me just opens up everything for me. And one of the things that I'm thinking about is moving back to Pittsburgh, and that's where I grew up. I moved to California when I was 23, never looked back. And I don't have children, so I really didn't have a family. I never really felt like I had a family. I have brothers and a sister, and I have a niece that I adore. and other members of my family. And I would like to be surrounded by them. I would like to be in Pittsburgh working as an artist. There's so many more venues creatively available to me there. And I want to become a family. I want to be with my family as I get older. Mm-hmm. I'm 65 and I want to learn more about my family history. Mm-hmm. And my brothers and my sister have a lot more information than I do. And I think that's going to impact my work even more so. Because there's a lot of things in my family past that I don't know. And I think, like, I have a great aunt, and she's the one actually that told me I should start drawing. And this was at 18 years old. I didn't take any art classes in high school. So I started drawing. And she is like this really eccentric woman. And it's all on my father's side of the family. And I know that's where a lot of my energy comes from. And so I want to find out more history about them. And I think that's going to impact my work. I really see myself still painting, but doing a lot more stitching and creating the stitching with my painting and working bigger, because my vestments are, you know, they're cut, 11 by 17, something like that. I would like to do major, major pieces. And that's mm-hmm. going to take a while for me to step up to that level. Mm-hmm. And that's how I did with my painting. I started out small, and then I started slowly building up to really get an impact of making something large. And so I see these vestments filling a huge wall. Mm-hmm. But also making, as we were talking about, we're making the vestments a part of a clothing piece.
Oh, so, Kate, this is so good. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing all of that. I love hearing, you know, what's coming also. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. And I have loved, I've learned so many new things about you. I think of all the years I've known you, and I love that I'm going away with some new things that I just didn't know of, where even things in your past, and I'm excited for even things I didn't know that are on your heart and things that you are excited to walk out yourself. And so would you also, before we go, would you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Okay, I have a website. It's fracturedangelics.com, and I have online classes there. I have my gallery. I have my teaching schedule up, and I'm also on Facebook, and I'm also part of an online gallery called Fusion Gallery, which is a virtual gallery that will be opening on Facebook February 12th.
Oh, that's wonderful. And we, guys, just so you know, we'll include all of these links. And Kate, she will be leading another trip to Morocco soon, and we'll make sure that we give you that information if you're interested in joining her. And Kate has a brand new online course that we just opened for early registration on our creative network called Flower Parade. Kate, would you tell everybody a little bit about that class?
Oh, I had so much fun creating this class because I fell in love with painting portraits again. And I did a lot of flowers. I painted a lot of flowers when I was a print designer years ago. So working with the watercolors, working with the flowers and the portraits was so much fun. And I also add charcoal to give it just kind of gives it a little gritty surface to mm-hmm. the piece. So it's not pure. It's not a pure watercolor painting. And then I also work with acrylics, and we do an abstract background, and then I work abstractly and really loosely with the acrylics. And so I'm combining the two things that I really love to paint the most, and that is faces and flowers. And I just really, really enjoy doing it. And it's for all levels. I want to make sure that people aren't intimidated by this class, because In the class, I have templates, mm-hmm. Outline templates for the flowers and the portraits so that people that are not ready to draw, that they can use those templates and just concentrate on the painting process. But I do go over drawing and mapping out a portrait for people that want to draw. But I definitely wanted this class for everyone so that everyone could feel comfortable and enjoy the class.
And I think that's a big heart of Kate's. When you, if you take any of Kate's class, her heart is really for whoever is taking it to feel like they have success. And so she really does give tips and templates, whether you're just starting out, and then you'll have ways that if you are a very experienced artist, that you're not going to feel like it's too dumbed down. So I think you do really such a beautiful job of that. So thanks, Kate, so much for talking today. I've loved every minute.
I did too. Thank you so much.
We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
I created a free resource and mini workbook just for you. 10 tips to take back the peace for a more beautiful life. A free ebook if you're looking for some rest in your day-to-day like I was. Go to jeanoliver.com/10tips to get your free resource. Creativity is calling. Become the artist you have dreamed to be. After the podcast, meet me over at jeanoliver.com, where you will find art, business, and lifestyle online courses. We have over 150 courses from teachers around the world. Thank you for joining me this week. Don't forget to let us know what you thought of this week's podcast, and make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.